You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Eusebius Makaiser.
Eusebius Makaiser.
On 702.
26 minutes before 11 o'clock, I want to pick up on a conversation we didn't have enough time for earlier, because your answers are absolutely fascinating and I want to read out more, but also invite you to call in. And I'd ask the question, it's quite simply, what did you do this weekend? And the reason I'm asking this question, and I've even just asked my producer to allow one or two experts we were going to speak to speak to us a little bit later, is that I think it's kind of interesting what's happening. You are asked, for the sake of your own well-being and others, to maintain physical distancing, which you should think of as a form of social solidarity. Your instinct on a Saturday might be, get out of the house. What do you do now? Funeral might have happened and been scheduled for, a wedding. Maybe you enjoy going to a market like the Bram market here in Joburg that I enjoy going to on a Saturday. I didn't have my usual curry from the Durban curry auntie. Now you've got to rethink what it is that you do. And the answers from friends across the globe, for example, because it's not a South African specific question. Many of my mates that I met when I lived and studied in England and other friends are also giving interesting answers that I'll read out about their challenges, but how they're turning that into opportunity on my Facebook page. Please keep that the stories coming through. Also, let's help each other out with innovative ways to turn the mentality from I'm being instructed to stay at home into, given that I must be home, what actually can I do that is a really interesting way at A, changing my behavior, and B, looking at what the opportunity is that come with social distancing. 011-883-0702. Got on the line, Roland. How's it, Roland?
Yeah, morning, Eusebius, and morning to all your listeners. Thanks for the opportunity to share some of my experiences on your show.
Let's go straight into it. I loved what you put on my Facebook wall, and I thought, let's give it a wider audience. And it's a simple question. I just asked what you were up to this weekend. You are a writer, communicator, many things. Friends, you're also a dad, family person. What did you get up to this weekend?
Yeah, so thanks for mentioning the most important part last. I'd like to think of myself as a devoted husband and father. We have four kids, the eldest being 17, and then we've got a girl who's 14, another girl who's 6, and a little boy who's 3. So I'm sure you can imagine that they really drain our energy levels, because each of them have different likes and dislikes, different interests, and we can knit all six of us to enjoy the same thing in time, unless it's a big pizza or something, you know. But instead of looking at it as a chore for my wife and I to keep them entertained, we actually see this as irreplaceable moments that we will never, ever have again. The point is that during normal times, we've got to get up every morning at 5 o'clock, get them ready for school, take them to school. Then they come back late in the afternoon, and when they come back, then it's supper and it's homework and assignments and a host of other things. So life is hectic and regimented in that way. Now, because of COVID-19 and because of the fact that we have made the responsible decision for all of us to stay at home, instead of thinking about, oh gosh, what is it that we should do to keep them entertained, we are treasuring these precious moments. So every day we do lots and lots of silly things. So yes, we might start a puzzle and someone will get bored after half an hour, and that's okay. And yes, we may go outside into the garden and do a bit of gardening, and someone will get bored as well, and that's also okay. And we try baking and cooking and a host of other things. But the message that I think we'd like to share with others is that here we have yes, it's a disastrous, catastrophic situation.
Yeah.
But within that catastrophic situation and environment that we have, we are fortunate in that we have, in our case, our immediate family around us. So let's treasure that.
You know, that's so stunning, Roland. I really like that, because there are so many hardworking moms and dads, either employed or out trying to look for employment. And also, even if you don't have a massive income crisis, which we do in this country, if you are working and you're lucky to have a job, a lot of life happens with your child at school that you are missing out on. And the one thing that money cannot buy is time. And if you come home and your partner, if you're lucky and you both don't have to work, which again is a luxury, but let's say one partner is ordinarily at home and you come home as the one who went to work and your partner says, you won't believe it, he has learned to walk. He's said his first word, for example, and you weren't there. Those are memories that you do not have directly. They are now reports of a memory that happened while you were in a meeting in Pretoria. And 100%. Suddenly you have an opportunity to create a memory, and forming memories and being physically present, especially with your children, that is literally ordinarily a luxury. And here we have a pandemic that we didn't wish for, but which gifts us an opportunity to shift the mind a little bit.
There's always a silver line in everything. There's always something to appreciate, no matter what it is. I mean, no matter the circumstance, and there are things that, you know, we cannot control, but in saying that, there are just so many happy opportunities while we deal with the pandemic. I mean, let's just think about people, for example, panic buying, and there's a selfishness that's attached to that. At the same time, I know personally of many opposite experiences where, even though people were, filling their trolleys up at the expense of others, when someone saw that, hey, look, this other person needs something, they were more than willing to share that. So there are always silver linings. Absolutely. There are always opportunities for happiness, even in the face of a pandemic. And the more we get that kind of sentiment out, I think the better we will 100%. Be as a nation.
100%. Thanks, Roland. Thanks for sharing that. Much appreciated. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers. That's Roland all the way in PE. Love what he had to say. How about you? Have you also found a way to shift your mindset, to shift the mindset so that you are able to just rethink what the physical distancing requirements that we have to comply with present in terms of an opportunity, right? So that's the first question. Second question is a simple behavioral one. What did you get up to in terms of that compliance over the weekend? 16 minutes before 11.
Know, live, transform. This is 702. This is 702. For the curious.
Many stories that you're curating on social media in response to my question. Let me share some of these with you. Candace said, I enjoy staying indoors, Eusebius, so it was not a problem for me. I made use of Dis-Chem's special shopping hours on Friday morning. I cooked in bulk. My sister bought me a box of fruit on Saturday. I am diabetic, so I'm not taking any chances. It means I could be in a risk group. Last night, I taught my dad how to use Zoom, which is similar to WebEx, so that he can schedule work meetings. And perhaps we'll have family conference calls on this app. That's fantastic. So normally you might not have had any reason, Candace, to teach your dad how to use Zoom. And that's something that she did. I work for an international company and we have been working from home since last week. So again, a really, really interesting example. Andrew, how's it, Andrew? Andrew says, I went through West Park Cemetery on Saturday solo. Few thousand people gathered elbow to elbow, unfortunately, and buses and transport. This is the conflict of culture and anti-pandemic behavior. And my only hope, says Andrew, is that there were no super spreaders grieving. I hope so too, Andrew. I hope so too. But I have a curiosity about the first part of what you said. As Abel, I can see from the corner of my eye. I know you are a generous listener to the show in the event that you are listening. Because this is the other thing about the weird times you are living in. Hopefully it will be good for Rams. The radio industry is very scared of what's happening to it. Your friend during these times is the DJ. So Andrew, if you are listening, why were you going through West Park Cemetery on Saturday solo? I know you are a curious creature because I know who you are. But just send another message. You can put it there on my wall. I'd really love to know. And then Tristan says, hello, Tristan, if you are listening all the way in Europe. Tristan says, so mine was fairly easy to follow, Eusebius, because I'm in Manila, which is all but under a military quarantine at the moment. We have enforced curfews in the evening, and in certain areas they are requiring households to nominate a single person for a quarantine pass. A quarantine pass. So you can't just walk out in jail. That will allow you to go outside and buy groceries. That's how hectic things are in Manila. Of course, easy to follow and easy to cope with. Well, not necessarily, right? Imagine some families, they could be bickering. Who's going to get that pass? Who's going to go and do the groceries? But Tristan goes on, and thank you for sharing it, Tristan. Tristan, my advice to all people back home in South Africa is, at the moment, is to take this very seriously so it doesn't get to the point where South Africa has to do what the Philippines is doing. So in Manila, there are curfews in place, strict enforcement of those laws, and even when you want to go and buy groceries, you need a quarantine pass. And you can't go as three or four. You have to nominate one person from your household that can take that pass and go grocery shopping.
Eusebius MacKaiser.
Eusebius MacKaiser.
On 702.
Johan, good morning. Hello, Johan.
Yes, hello, the Eusebius. I'm 67 years old and my partner is 63, and we are privileged enough to live in a retirement estate in Centurion. So we spent Saturday, as you said earlier in the program, that it was a very beautiful day up here in Gauteng. First Skyping with some family in New Zealand, and then learning how to set up Skype and that sort of thing so that we can actually keep connected to our other friends and family, which we, this was set up for us before this whole thing happened. In addition, we worked on ways to keep in touch with the family. And one of the things we worked out is that we could actually play board games with our children who are living in another city. Even if they have the same board game as we have, we can just do so by Skyping, and we can play a board game together. It won't be exactly the same, but it will certainly be a way to keep in touch and to keep that social contact going. In addition, because it was a nice day, we continued with our preparations in terms of setting up a vegetable garden, because we took the view 6 weeks ago that we're not going to become a liability on any other people and we will look after ourselves. So we worked in the garden, we get the veggies growing, and yeah, it was a fun day.
That's stunning. I love that. The self-sufficiency, the gardening, learning how to connect digitally. And again, no one wishes for a crisis that is a threat to us individually and collectively. But as Roland said, I'm not sure I agree with the general statement, but I love the spirit of what he said. There's always, I would say often, or not, you know, I'm still Eusebius. I'd say there's always a silver lining. But if you can find a way to rejig yourself attitudinally and in terms of your behavior, it's so important. Thank you for sharing that, Johan.
Thank you, Eusebius.
Thank you, sir. Sir Piwe, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay, man. I struggled over the weekend. First of all, I complied with the social distancing rules to the teeth. So I was at home. Two things that happened for me. I've always thought I was an introvert. I really always thought I enjoyed my own company until this weekend. I was battling and just watching my wife. I had never spent so much time with my wife in my entire life, and we are married for 12 years. And so that it was just absolutely weird.
And how is that work? How did that work out? Did you get on each other's nerves?
So one of the things that happened is my wife is like a proper introvert. So she was just absorbed in her own world, reading a book, so much at peace. And I felt like as an extrovert, I obviously wanted to be with her a little bit more. So we were trying to balance this because we were social distancing from the world, but she was also social distancing from me. So we had to do some negotiations that you'll have your own time, but please, let's try and do certain things together because I'm battling over here, which also meant for me, I logged on to the online parties that were there. I logged into online churches and so on just to keep myself sane.
You know what's interesting, Sipiwe, is relationships, that's a really interesting part of being human. You meet your girlfriend, she meets a boyfriend, eventually you become husband and wife, but sometimes good things happen, sometimes silent dynamics play out, and it just takes on a life and evolution of its own, obviously, right? And that's just how life goes. Mm. And then the pandemic happens, and suddenly you got to do things more deliberately, whereas perhaps you have started behaving unconsciously. And I was saying to Dr. Eve, and we chuckled, but even when we make jokes in talking sex, it's one of the most serious parts of our show because so much of our life as social beings is also played out through our through sex and sexuality and intimacy. And I was saying to Dr. Eve on Friday, perhaps what many people will experience now is how much of a turn on conversation can be learning to listen properly and being in dialogue with one another. Mm. And I would be fascinated to know how many other couples are hearing you right now and what you are saying is resonating with them. Another challenge related to that is in a relationship, you are still an individual. If your wife enjoys reading books, you will have to learn that she doesn't necessarily not like being with you, but you're going to have to dial back your extroversion if you want to have the fattest, wonderful gossip about what you have just seen when you went for a grocery run, if she is trying to finish the chapter of a book that she's reading.
Absolutely. And she's just at a stage of flow. You just don't want to be disturbing at that point. So we were navigating that space because obviously proper conversations when you're fully present excite me and engage me, but I had to be very, very conscious of the fact that she's quite absorbed in whatever she does, but quite challenged her as well to say, I don't also want to disturb you, but there is that side of me where I need the social interaction. So it was very good conversations, which ordinarily we wouldn't have, because I don't think ordinarily we have such deep
talk. Quick, obvious tip, and then I'll leave it there, but thank you for sharing a beautiful call, Sipiwe. If she's too busy to chat to you because she wants to finish the chapter she's on and she wants to know what's happening to her favorite characters, take that opportunity to go and have a WhatsApp video call with your mom, dad, or check in with a friend.
702. 702. We're listening.
Hi, Eusebius. It's been a very long weekend for me. I was planning on getting married at the end of the year, but after spending the whole weekend with my girlfriend, just the two of us, I'm having second thoughts. Maybe we need another year to think this through.
Wow. You? Hashtag funny, not funny. I don't know what to say after that call. Let's replay it, Abel, in case you think you misheard it. You did not mishear it. Let's have a listen to this call again.
Hi, Eusebius. It's been a very long weekend for me. I was planning on getting married at the end of the year, but after spending the whole weekend with my girlfriend, just the two of us, I'm having second thoughts. Maybe we need another year to think this through.
If we go with Roland Williams's perspective, that there's a silver lining in anything, maybe the silver lining, Laura, is better now than years of horrible cheating and screaming and fighting, and then divorce lawyers are the only ones who make a profit out of an unhappy marriage.